ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And last week we covered the first four verses of James chapter 1. We'll finish up the chapter this evening that's, again, dealing with the believer and suffering. And again, James is writing to Jewish believers who had to flee the land of Israel because of the persecution they were facing, mostly from their fellow non-believing Jews. The Romans would then pick up that persecution as well. But James is opening up by trying to encourage them as they go through various trials in their life. And he wants them to have a correct perspective, because once they do and once we do, we can count it all joy knowing that God is working in us for good to make us complete. He's not here to destroy us. How do we handle these situations? How do we know what to do? How do we know which direction God wants us to go in these various trials we're facing? Well, James is going to tell us as we read through these verses here in chapter 1 this evening. But remember what Job said as he spoke to his so-called friends. They really weren't his friends. They were horrible friends and counselors. They gave him foolish advice. And in Job chapter 28, verses 12 through 22, this is what Job said. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not in me, and the sea says it's not in with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come, and where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. That's what James is going to answer. Where does wisdom come from? How do we get this wisdom? And, you know, like Job said in verses then 23 through 28 of Job 28, God understands its ways, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens, to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain, a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it, indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. We're going to see that the Lord has the wisdom we need for every situation we're going through. It's not easy, and the reason it's not easy is because if it were easy, we wouldn't need the Lord. We wouldn't have to ask him for wisdom. Lord, what do I do here? What should I be praying about? What direction should I go? But because we don't know, and he does, we ask for his wisdom. You know, let's face it, life is tough. No doubt about it. Difficulties come our way. And that's why we need to look to him. We need to surrender our life to him and trust that he's going to see us through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll bring us to the mountaintop for times of refreshing, and then back into the valley of the shadow of death for more learning, more growing, more trusting in him. It's not easy, though. You know, one writer put it like this. He wrote this. This is an unknown author from another century, this poem. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors, he works steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride. Forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttles cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas, and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skilled hand, as threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. You know, we're not going to fully understand everything in this life. But God is working. Can we trust in Him? We need to. You know, we cannot understand what God is doing unless we come before Him and ask Him. We look at situations and we go, what in the world is going on, right? Do you think God ever says what in the world is going on? No, He doesn't. So we can come to Him. I like that. You know, James understood these things. He understood the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties. And so he's able to share with us what he learned and what we need to do. And I think that's important, you know, because, again, tough times are going to come our way. We don't know even what tomorrow holds for us, but God does. And that's why we need to come before Him. So let's pick up James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and see what the Lord has for us as we continue looking at the believer and suffering. James wrote this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, here's the thing. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. Knowledge is information. And, you know, when we think of biblical or information, let's think biblically, that it's the Word of God, the truths of God found in the Word of God. And that's important to know. And that's what James is really coming forth here with these ideas, that these believers already knew the truths of God. They had that knowledge. And James is, again, it's not speaking of knowledge, he's speaking of wisdom. And wisdom is applying the correct information to our lives. How we're to walk in given situations. Lord, what do you want me to do? I know what you know, the truths that you've spoken, but how do you want me to handle this situation? Picture it like this. Think of it like this. Knowledge is what we read on the package of cigarettes. You know, it can cause heart disease. It can cause lung cancer. That's information, okay? That's knowledge. Now, the wisdom is you don't smoke cigarettes because it can cause heart disease, lung cancer, and so on. It's the application of the information or knowledge that you have. And that's what James is speaking of here. That's what wisdom is all about. One writer said, "The Bible does not give specific answers to the innumerable problems that arise in life. It does not solve problems in so many words, but God's Word does give us general principles. We must apply these principles to problems as they rise day by day. That's why we need wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is the practical application of our Lord's teachings to everyday situations." Absolutely. And so as we find ourselves in various trials, in various situations, God wants us to seek Him for wisdom. He wants to give us the wisdom we need to walk accordingly. It's not something God is hiding from us. He wants to give it to us. You know, many don't like this or they may not agree with this, but it's true. If you want to get wisdom, you go to the Word of God, the Bible. It tells us how to walk. It tells us how to apply many things. Now, of course, it's not everything. You know, Lord, what job do you want me to take? I can't turn to a book in the Bible where it'll tell me. But I can turn to the Lord, and He can show me. He can give me peace about various situations. And really, you start in the Word of God, and you end in the Word of God. You know, God is not going to call you to take a job at a strip joint. Guaranteed. Why? Because it goes against His Word. You see, that's obvious stuff. It's not always that obvious, but remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" So you ask the Lord and you walk accordingly. In fact, in the Greek, it's ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and it will be open to you. It's not sometimes as revealed to you instantaneously. Sometimes it is. but not always. So you come before him and you seek direction from him. The problem today is we go to so many different things for answers instead of God. We don't go to his word. And we wonder why we don't understand why all these things are happening to us or what we should do about it. Even Spurgeon in his day, he wrote, we are all so ready to go to books, to go to men, to go to ceremonies, to anything except God. Consequently, the text does not say, let them ask books, nor ask priests, but let them ask of God. Even in his day, he saw the problem. How much more today? You know, we not only have to ask God for wisdom, but we can't doubt what he's telling us then to do. Because then you're a double-minded man. You're unstable. You know, some of you have read John Bunyan's classic allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. And there's a person in the book, Mr. Facing Both Ways. And yeah, physically impossible to do, spiritually really impossible to do, try and go in two different directions with the Lord or in the world. And yet many try it. And many times for people like this, everything is a crisis. You know, they're tossed to and fro as they go through various trials. And this person, Jesus says, is not going to receive from him because he's double-minded. He lacks faith. He's really not seeking the Lord. He's asking the Lord, but then he's looking over here. You got to not only ask, but then you have to wait for him to direct you. And the Christian life is just one walking in faith, isn't it? The moment we get saved, the walk is beginning, right? And it ends when we're taken home to be with the Lord. It's a walk. You know, when we were saved, we believed by faith in the promises of God. We believed that by his atoning work on the cross of Calvary, he paid in full the penalty for our sins with the shedding of his blood, and we're saved. That's all faith. And then when trials come our way, we don't understand, we don't believe that God is still working on us, dealing with us. He is. You see, when you're going through those tough times, guys, ask the Lord what he wants you to do, what he's trying to show you through it. And if you don't trust God, your actions will reflect that attitude, and your life is not going to be better, it'll be worse, it'll be more confusing. You know, Solomon, Proverbs chapter 2, had a lot to say about wisdom. In Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1, he said, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. For those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness." You know, just wise words. The wisdom of God applied to our lives. Can you imagine? You know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes think, man, you know, if I knew everything I knew today when I was a kid, wow. I mean, I wouldn't have done half the things I did. We have the wisdom of God. That's an awesome thing. We're not going to be able to handle it with our own understanding of things. It'll mess things up. God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end, so he knows exactly what we need, and he gives us the wisdom to walk in faith, to trust in him. That's what in Proverbs 3, that's what Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. I like that about our God. He wants to direct us. God's not in heaven, you know, watching some cable TV show, too busy to help us. God doesn't sleep or slumber. He always is there for us. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. God is there, and he's always available when you cry out to him. What a wonderful God we have. That's why James says, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Is there a 5-step program to this? Is there some other book, companion book you need to get to? No. It just says, ask of God, and he'll give the wisdom we need for the situations we're in. I like that. He shall direct our paths. Look at verse 9 here in James chapter 1. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. I find it interesting what the world glories in and what God glories in. You see, here it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. In God's eyes, we're all on equal ground. We don't glory in earthly riches, we glory in eternal riches that are ours in Christ. One writer said, you know, as the poor brother forgets all his earthly poverty, so the rich brother forgets all his earthly riches. By faith in Christ, the two are equals. Absolutely. And James speaks of, you know, of the flower perishing. And in Israel, this was something that was a great object lesson. In the springtime, the land just was covered with flowers. But it's only a short time before the heat comes, and before long, they wither away. And the idea is how often people place all their time and energy on that which is temporary, that which passes away so quickly. You know, Solomon did that. He sought everything under the sun of God, that is, not under the sun itself, S-U-N, but that apart from God. He had riches, all kinds of things, but he was empty inside. It was all vanity, and yet look at the people today who are going after what Solomon went after, and they're not finding their satisfaction that they're looking for. You know, Solomon was not satisfied until he returned to the Lord, for that's where true joy, true satisfaction is found. I mean, look at our nation today. Look at the turmoil it's in. Why? Because they're not satisfied. They always want something more. Something free. Give me this. Give me that. I'll tell you what. When you're satisfied in the Lord, there is nothing that earthly treasures are going to give to you. You're satisfied in him. And he's going to give you everything that you need. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to have nothing. I know to have everything and nothing, and I'm satisfied in the Lord. That's where we need to be. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's an interesting point that Jesus is making. You could have everything in this world, but if you don't know the Lord, you lost everything. Really, how long are you going to hold on to earthly riches? 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80, 90, maybe some 100 years. Maybe. I don't know what you're going to do with all those riches when you're 100 years old. Buy a really zooped up walker or something. I don't know. But what are you going to do then? You die. That's it. And if you don't know the Lord, you are separated from him for eternity. So what have you gained? I look at these leaders from around the world today, these movers and shakers that are trying to manipulate this world into a one-world government. I look at the people that are trying to unite the world into a one-world religion. And you know what? It's going to happen. And they're going to think, we did it. God allowed it. and it's going to be short-lived. You look at Revelation. 7-year tribulation period. Power for the Antichrist for how long? 7 years, and then eternity part from God. It's nothing. It's not even a dot on a piece of paper when compared to eternity. We glory in the Lord. That's what Jeremiah talked about. We don't glory in our wisdom. We don't glory in our might. We don't glory in the riches. But we understand and know the Lord. Wow. And that's what Solomon found out. And that's what we need to remember. And trials will come on the rich. Trials will come on the poor. That's not the issue. It's how you walk. Walk in the wisdom of the Lord. And if you lack wisdom, what are we to do? Ask God. That's what James said. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, this almost sounds like one of the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke as he gave a sermon on the mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And James uses the same Greek word for blessed, makarios. It's a word that speaks of more than just being happy or a carefree life. It speaks of inner joy and satisfaction, even in the midst of various trials. Why? Because that joy is found in the Lord. It's not in the ever-changing circumstances of life. And doesn't life circumstances change all the time? I mean, I don't watch football or sports anymore, but I'll just use it as an illustration. I mean, you know, your team's winning, it's fourth quarter, there's no way you're going to lose, right? And you're just so excited, and then they lose the game. Well, that happiness that you had, all that emotion for your team has now turned to what? Anger, hatred, frustration. How could they do it? They're idiots, man. Why didn't they just do this and do that? Right? But when your joy is based in the Lord, He's unchanging. So that joy doesn't change because it's based in Him. I like that. That's why James says, you know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, these things can't destroy our faith. God's going to use it to strengthen us, to make us complete. And He's not going to give us a kingly crown, but a victor's crown, a Stephanos in the Greek. The true love of God's going to endure all kinds of hardships. It's going to endure to the end. And we can enjoy that fullness of life, that abundant life now in Christ and one day with Him in glory. You know, we think of abundant life when we go to be with the Lord. No, we're with the Lord now. One day we will see Him face to face, but that joy should be here now because God is still with us. He's in us. Jesus said in Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. When Jesus comes, He's going to have our rewards. We'll appear before the Bema Seat of Christ. Well, look at verse 13 here in James 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Wow. Those are pretty powerful words. Now, does God tempt us? No, it says God doesn't tempt us. But it almost seems like we read in verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Like God is tempting us. Is it contradicting each other? No. In verse 12, I believe James is speaking of trials or tests. Here in verses 13 and 14, I think he's speaking of temptation. You see, the word trials and temptations comes from the same Greek word. Well, how do we know how to use it? how to apply it. Well, we look at the situation. When it's there to help us to grow mature, it's from God. They're tests or trials in our faith. But Satan's going to come along and tempt us to exploit the trial we're going through. Why? So we might sin. God wants to build up, and he uses trials to do that. Satan wants to destroy us, and he uses temptations to do that. Same situation, it just depends on how we respond to it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.